13:5, you ought to know this verse by heart by now. We've looked at it several times and so many different times. The Bible says in verse number 5, and I just simply want to remind us today that Paul is writing to a local church. What he's telling us to do in this verse is to be done inside the local church. It's to be done to church members, those that are religious, those that go to church. He said in verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now notice that. He's saying, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Then he said, prove your own selves. And then he said, know you not your own selves? How that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you. I believe that Paul suspected that inside the church membership of the church of Corinth, that there was people there that were professors but were not possessors. There were people there in the membership inside that assembly that if they would give a thorough investigation, a thorough examination of their own salvation, that they would discover that indeed they were not saved. And he did emphasize three different times, yourselves. What's the emphasis? That is, you're to do it. You're responsible yourself for your eternal destiny. You're not responsible to get there in your works and labors, but you're responsible to know whether you're going or not. And if you're not saved, you're responsible to get saved. You're accountable for your destiny. Jesus has already paid the full price and cried, "It is finished," was buried and rose again the third day. I'll tell you, God has done His work for your salvation. Amen. You are accountable for your salvation. If you're not saved, it's your fault. Amen. You can't blame nobody but yourself. Amen. If you're deceived, it's your fault. Amen. But I want us to deal with this. Again, we've been dealing with the examination of salvation. This is probably message number 10 or so. The examination of salvation. And we've seen several get saved throughout this series of messages of preaching the good word of God. Well, I'm not going to get in the verse, but as you get in this verse of Scripture and you begin to examine yourself in light of the Word of God. And by the way, that's the rule. That's the standard. Remember the last time, Sunday week ago, I believe it was, that we were, a couple Sundays ago, we were preaching out of this same series of messages and we talked about that you've got to have a standard. Even with medical examination, they've got to have a standard of what blood pressure is supposed to be and what the body temperature is supposed to be. And they've got to have a standard. If there's no standard, then if your temperature is 104, then that's all right for you. If his over here is 63.5, then that must be all right with him. It's just every man for himself. But no, there's a standard. There's a standard which examination is to be measured by. So it is in the medical, not in the medical, but in the mathematical world. It's a mathematical word. Amen? 2 + 2 = 4. That's a standard. It don't matter if you like that or not. It don't matter if you agree with it or not. You can spend your whole life and all of your resources trying to change the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. That's a standard. You'll never change it. And you govern the right answer based on the standard. Well, what's the standard if you examine yourself spiritually? It's the Word of God, not feelings. It's not feelings. You cannot, listen, you cannot say I'm saved because I had a goosebump or I had a chill. Listen, it's not feelings. It's not dreams and visions. Amen. I've got relatives, one in particular, that claimed to have saw some bright light in the night, and she equates that to be her salvation. And I'm afraid, listen, I'm afraid that if God don't deal with her, she's going to die in her sin and go to hell. I've never heard her give a clear testimony of being saved. And she was the pianist in the home church all the days that I went to my home church. Are you listening? Are you listening? Amen. It was one of my aunts. So that meant she was raised in the same home my mom was raised in, with a fire-breathing Bible preacher as a daddy. But there, she's got that testimony, and she's probably in her 80s now, that she saw some light. You can't base salvation on feelings. You can't base salvation on visions and dreams. Are you listening?
Amen.
You can't do that. It's not found in the Word of God. You say, preacher, what authorizes you to say that we can't do that? Well, it's not in the Bible, the standard. It's not what I think. It's not my opinion. It's what does the standard say? What does the Bible say? Well, preacher, my denomination don't say that. Our denomination's different from that. It don't matter. I'm not preaching denominationalism. I'm not preaching what Baptist says versus what Catholics say or what Lutherans say or what Pentecostals say or anybody else. I'm talking about what does the standard say. And that is not an evidence of being saved. You don't find that in the church epistles. Amen. So you cannot base it on feelings and visions and dreams. Amen. And you certainly can't base it on somebody else telling you you're saved. That's why the emphasis three times in one verse, yourselves once and your own selves twice. Why? Because you are the only one that can perform this investigation. You are the only one that will know for sure whether you're saved or not. Parents don't know that about children. Amen. Parents don't know that. Grandparents don't know that about children. Children don't know that about parents. Husbands don't know that about wives and vice versa. Amen. You just don't know that. You cannot know that. You can suspect. You can be persuaded and believe strongly that another person is saved. But you cannot say emphatically, you are saved. You can't do that. You don't have the authority. The assurance comes to you through two means. The Scriptures and the Spirit. The standard ought to settle it. Examine yourself in light of the Word of God. Now, I know that's elementary to us. That's simple to us. And we, you know, you've heard it so much, you wonder why we're preaching it again. But you'd be surprised in our area, and possibly even the people in this building today, that maybe don't realize that. I said something to a woman one time, not long ago, as they were walking out the building. About the child, I even asked the daughter, I said, are you saved? And before the daughter could ever even respond, the mother said, oh yes, she's saved. Oh yeah, she's saved. How do you know that? How do you know that? What verse are you basing that on? Are you thinking they're saved just because they went to the altar and prayed? I can show you people in the Bible that prayed, they ain't saved. What are you basing that on, Mom? Dad, what are you basing that on? You got to have a basis. There's a big difference in praying a prayer and being saved. There's a big difference, my friend, if you're going through the baptistry and getting saved. There's a big difference in being a church member and being saved. If there's not, then why is Paul writing to a church and saying, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith? By the way, nothing's more important than you going to heaven. Nothing. If I preach 100 messages on this, I still won't have preached too much on it. Because nothing is more important than you going to heaven when you die. Nothing. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all, friend. Amen. And the devil wants nothing more, my friend, than to take you or me or anybody else out of this world and to the regions of the damned. He knows he's going. He knows he's hell-bound. He knows he's headed for the lake of fire, and he can't get out of that. He will never get saved. He hates the blood and the Bible and church, and he hates the things of God. He'll never be saved. He's going to the lake of fire, so he wants to take as many with him as he can. Amen. There's people in this part of the country, my friend, that's got some of them same characteristics that I just gave about the devil. Hate the church, hate the Word of God, hate preaching, hate holy living, hate everything about it, but yet they think that when they draw their last breath, they're going to open their eyes in the celestial city of God. Well, you better give yourself a Bible exam. You better give yourself a Bible test. If you can't pass the Bible test, don't you think for a second you're going to make it. Amen. Amen. Thank God, how will I know that this Bible supports my salvation? Amen. I don't want to get out here and have an experience and then run to the Bible and see if I can find it. Come on now. I wasn't aiming to preach right in here, but I'm preaching in there. We've already made the transition. Y'all have noticed that. Amen. Listen. You don't get you an experience. Go to some meeting or go somewhere and you have some kind of an experience. Salvation is an experience, but you don't base salvation on experience. If we had 10 people to get up today and tell their testimony in detail, it would be all different. Where they got saved would be different. The emotion part of it was different. Different things about it was different. Amen. You can't base it on experience. You don't go get an experience, and that's what's really pushed in the charismatic movement. Get you an experience, and then try to find you a verse to prove it. Try to get you a verse. That's German rationalism. That didn't come from God. That come from over across the big pond. You're not saved because you rationalize and figure something out. You're saved because you had a supernatural encounter with a holy God. I was talking to a fellow this week. Are you listening to me? Amen. Let's talk. Stop here a minute. Make sure he's not in the service. Amen. I was talking to a fellow this week. And it don't matter if he is. I was talking to a fellow this week. Was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. I was talking to him about being saved. How do y'all get saved? Well, you get your infant baptism, you know, and then a little later on you go through their catechism. You go through all this doctrinal instruction and doctrine indoctrination catechism, and then at the end of that you go through a confirmation. They confirm you into the church. They confirm you into the faith that now you are indeed fully a child of God. You know what I said? I said, where's any supernatural anything in that? That's all mechanical. The infant baptism, a baby didn't do nothing about that. The mom and daddy did it, or some old liberal preacher did. Amen. What nothing supernatural about that? The catechism, nothing but indoctrinational, classroom setting, teaching and instructing them on what they're supposed to believe. And I believe that's good to teach people what they're supposed to believe, because how you believe determines how you behave. If you don't believe right, you can't behave right. But brother, listen, you can't teach a lost person how to live a righteous life. It's just not going to happen, amen. You can teach them to be moral. You can teach them, listen, you can teach them to be honest, but you can't teach a lost person how to live a life clean enough and righteous enough to be saved. Not one thing in that whole experience that he told me about required anything supernatural. None of that required God. Amen? It's all on man. Man doing this, man teaching that, man learning this and being confirmed and all this stuff. Hey folks, salvation is a supernatural happening.
Amen.
Now I know the physical birth is a natural birth. But I want to tell you right now, friend, I can't explain it. Can you? Can you explain how that two can become one? Can you explain, my friend, how that a male and female, by the way, is still the standard in the Word of God? I like what Brother Jeff Brown said in our Jubilee the other night. He started preaching about some things that sodomites ought to be happy about. He said one is they ought to be thankful that their parents and grandparents was not sodomites, or they'd have never been born. Because they cannot reproduce. Amen. Amen. I thought that's real good. Amen. That's right. God help us. I don't know how I got on that, but I did. But listen, salvation is a supernatural birth. I can't explain my first birth, and I sure can't explain the second birth, but I know this. It's not mechanical. It's not me just doing step 1, 2, 3 and repeat a prayer and sign a card and shake a hand of a preacher or somebody and that's it. No, brother, salvation, it takes a spiritual work of God, my friend, to take a sinner that's dead and, my friend, bring him to life. You can take a corpse, friend, you can put makeup on them and you can put perfume or deodorant on them or whatever, my friend, but you cannot give them life. That is a supernatural work of God.
Amen.
Amen. And lost people are dead in trespass and sin that requires God, my friend, to resurrect them. Well, amen. I wasn't planning on preaching out of that verse, but I did. But examine yourself. Examine yourself. Do you know you're saved today? Is it a reality to you that Jesus is in you? That word know there in the last part of that verse, know your own self. That means it's real. It's a reality to you. Amen? Thank God it's real to me that I'm saved. It's not imaginary. I'm not dreaming. I'm not hallucinating. I'm telling you it's real to me that I really do know Jesus and that He really does know me. I'm in Him and He's in me. I'm going to heaven, thank God. It's real to me. It's real to me. It's a reality to me that I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Well, we talked about if you examine yourself, here's some things you will find. Not might find. Not might find, but will find. Now listen to me. There's only one salvation. There's not an A, B, or C salvation. There's not an American salvation and a German salvation and another country salvation. There's not a Baptist salvation and then there's a Catholic salvation. No, there's only one salvation. Jude, verse 3, calls it a common salvation. If you're saved and I'm saved, you're saved with the same salvation that I'm saved with. There's only one Savior. It makes sense. It really makes sense. One Savior, one salvation. Amen. Amen. And the salvation that Jesus purchased, the salvation that Jesus performs, my friend, is not lining up with a lot of salvation claims that I'm seeing among people today. Amen. Something's wrong. Amen. There's not multiple ways to get to heaven. There's not... Amen. That's right. There's not multiple ways. It's either Jesus or not. You're either saved or you're not. Amen. And I'm interested in preaching to you the truth. The Bible said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad the truth got a hold of my wife. I'm glad the truth opened her eyes and she seen that she needed the Lord. Amen. She could have went on saying, "Well, what will people think about me? I'm the preacher's wife and we've been married 22 years. What will people think about me?" I'm glad she lined up with the truth, turned her back on that flimsy profession she had and got born again. I'm glad of that. Amen. Are you glad of that? Sure you are. Amen. That's right. I don't care if they have to make 50 trips to the altar. I want them to get it.
Amen.
That's right. Don't bother me if people make several trips to the altar. I want them to get it. They don't go to heaven off of a profession. You go to heaven because you're saved. I mean really saved. I mean genuinely saved. Forever saved. Gloriously saved. Holy Spirit in you saved. Name written down in heaven saved. Hate sin saved. Love righteousness saved. That's what I'm talking about. Want to go to church saved. Want to be faithful to the house of God saved. Want to read the Bible saved. Amen. Love God's people saved. Amen. Want to see sinners saved. That's the kind of salvation, thank God, I've got. That's the salvation this book teaches. And I can shout right now because I'm heaven bound. I'm glory bound because it's real to me. I've got the Scriptures backing up what I've got. I've got the Holy Ghost backing up what I've got. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God is a twofold witness. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people get offended if you ask them per se. If they do, that's a sure sign they're not. The reason they're offended and embarrassed is they don't have nothing to tell. They don't have nothing to say. Ask me if I'm saved. Just take it. Whenever you got plenty of time, ask me if I'm saved.
I promise you I won't get the poochy lip. I promise you I won't get mad. I won't get offended. I'll just take that as Brother David says, a golden opportunity. Thank God to tell you that I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was a sinner, but now I'm a child of God. I've taken an opportunity to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank God I'm saved. I'll tell you how saved I am.
I'm as saved as you can get and still be in this life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how saved I am.
Amen. Amen. That's how saved I am, brother. Amen. I'm talking about changed life saved.
Hunger for God's Word saved. Amen. Amen. Hate the devil saved. That's me. I'm just telling you what's happened to me. It's a common salvation. I'm telling you, friend, there's people all around this part of the country tell you they're saved straight up. Look you square in the eyes. I'm saved. Never go to church. Never have a desire to go to church. Never miss church. Never hunger for church. Never read the Bible. Never, amen. Don't have no walk with God. No intimacy of the Lord. They never give nothing to God's work. They're not involved in the work of God. But they'll tell you they're saved. I can take that Bible and tear that profession all to pieces. If you've got a profession that Bible can dissect and tear it all to pieces, then you need to not get you a new Bible. You need to get you a new conversion. Amen? You need to get one that'll line up with God's Word. You say, but preacher, I'm saved. I've just been living in sin for 40 years. Don't tell me that. I don't believe a word of that. You're barking up the wrong tree to tell me that. Amen. A lot of people say, preacher, I've been saved. I just had never lived for God. You're telling that to the wrong preacher. Go tell that to an NIV preacher. They probably will believe it. I'm not going to believe it because I got a King James Bible. I know what this book says. I know what the evidence is of being saved. I know what the fruit this Bible says will be in your life if you are a child of God. Amen. Yes, sir. Bunch of them say they got to get rededicated. Baloney. Been out of church 30 years and then say, you got to get rededicated? What did you ever have to dedicate? You can't rededicate something that never has been dedicated. Tell me about when you was dedicated. I want to know about you wanting to be rededicated. Tell me if you've got something to do any rededicating of. I want to know. Tell me about when it was working. Tell me about it when it was real. How long did it last? What did it change your attitude toward sin? Did it change your attitude toward the devil? Tell me about that, amen. That's right. Amen. I hope you like it. It don't matter if you do, though. I was talking to a lady, an older lady, the other day. I was talking to her the other day, and she told me she'd lived 35 years and partied and drank and doped for 35 years and then had the nerve to tell me when I said, she said she was saved and said she's just backslid. I said, wait a minute. I said, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You mean to tell me the whole time that you was drinking and drugging and dancing and partying and probably the Lord only knows what else with it for 35 years that you was just backslid? She said, that's right. I said, let me tell you my testimony. I couldn't tell her she wasn't saved. I told you a while ago, I don't have that authority. But I got the authority to tell you what happened to me, praise God. Hallelujah, amen. Those times I made professions and it didn't change my attitude toward sin. I kept right on drinking and drugging and dancing and all that other bunch of junk. Are you listening? It was because I wasn't saved. It wasn't because I wasn't a church member. It wasn't because I wasn't raised in a Christian home. It wasn't because I didn't sit under preaching. It was because I wasn't saved, amen. When I got saved January the 20th, 1981, thank God God gave mom and daddy a brand new boy. Hey! Amen. Yes, he did. Changed my life. I know y'all get tired of hearing it, but I don't get tired of telling it. It's the best story I got. Because it happened to me. Amen. You better make sure you're saved. Amen. Jesus is coming, and I'm telling you, he's coming for saved people only. He's coming for those that have been born again. I tell you who He's coming for. He's coming for those only that are possessors of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, it don't matter if you're a church member, been baptized 110 times, you will miss the boat. He's coming after those that's got the Holy Ghost in them. And if you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Amen. I didn't aim to get on all that. Honestly, I didn't. But we're there. We got it. Nailed it tight. Why? Why do it, preacher? Why? Because I want to see you saved. I want the people really know the Lord. I don't want you to just go on a wish and a whim and a wonder and hope the good outweighs the bad and maybe you'll make it and maybe you won't. Hey, we're not talking about maybe going to Walmart or maybe not going to Walmart. We're talking about missing heaven. We're talking about missing heaven forever. No, no second chances, no afterlife opportunities. My friend, no reincarnation. I'm talking about, I'd rather you get in before you draw your last breath or you'll never have a chance to get saved. You say, I'll get saved after Jesus comes back. No, you won't. Because you done heard enough truth here this morning to exempt you from that. There'll be people saved in the tribulation period, but it won't be none of you. There'll be people saved in the tribulation period, but it won't be none of you. In fact, you probably won't go around here in a 100-mile radius and find anybody that will get saved in the tribulation period. Because they've been exposed to the truth somewhere by radio, TV, in the pulpit, a godly grandparent, a mama, a daddy. Somewhere along the way, they've been exposed to the truth. And once the light ever gets turned on in you, you're accountable for your destiny. Amen. Lord of God, that's good. Amen. That's right. No second chances. Jesus is coming. He's coming. I mean, things are winding up quick, Brother Carroll. Things are lining up quick, fast. I mean, listen, fulfilled quickly and fast. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Jesus could come before I get through preaching, and that's not an exaggeration. That could very well be a reality. And I wonder if He were to come today, how many people would still be left sitting in the pews looking around and wondering where the preacher went. Are you listening? Brother, if Jesus were to come before I get through preaching, I will be gone. Amen. They might be a pile of clothes laying up here. If there's a pile of clothes up here, just don't look, don't go digging around in them. Unless you want my billfold, and then you'd be shocked at that. Amen. Of course, you can have it. I don't care. Credit cards, driver's license, you can have it. I'm out of here. Amen. I'm gone. I'm talking about the rapture takes place. But if Jesus don't come today and might draw my last breath before I get through preaching today, just go ahead and know before my body turns cold, before my body ever, my friend, hits a floor, thank God I'll be yonder in the glory world, shouting her out and praising God. Hey, it's real to me. It's real to me that I'm a child of God. It's real to me that I'm saved. Brother, when I got saved, God changed my attitude toward this world. I'm not living for this world. I'm not living to fit in. I'm not living to own it. I'm not living to have it. I'm not living to have its recognition. I don't care if I get its applause. Thank God I'm hooked up with a new Lord, a new land, a new life, a new love. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved. But if you examine yourself this morning, here's some things you'll find. I'm not going to get to where I wanted to get this morning. I thought I was going to get. We've dealt with it. First, you'll find the Word of God. You'll find the Word of God in you. You can have the Word of God in your lap and not be saved. You can have the Word of God in your house and not be saved. You can even quote a few verses and read it on a daily basis and not be saved. What do you mean the Word of God will be in you if you're saved? 1 Thessalonians, what is it, 2:13? Talks about receiving the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which effectually worketh in you that believe. If you're saved, this book right here is constantly working in you, constantly working on you. You've got to feed on it. You've got to have it. You can't just lay it, my friend, leave it at the church from Sunday till the next Sunday. My friend, you can't leave it in the back window of your car, out from one service to the next, or whatever. Are you listening? I tell you, buddy, this Word, God hooks you up in this book and you get saved. You can't, listen, hey, you can't even get saved apart from this book. Listen, a while ago, you know, I talked about people going and having an experience and then go to the Bible trying to find it. That's got the cart before the horse. Right. Salvation is an experience, but the Bible causes it. The Bible is what produces it. Amen. You don't have to find a verse to try to make it fit your situation. You got in there and the Bible's one that did it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. You'll find the Word of God in you. That right there ought to narrow it down to a lot. Listen, there's a lot of people going to miss heaven. I'm afraid they are. I can't tell them for sure, but listen, if this Bible is not a vital part of your life, if this is not your food and roadmap, if this is not your instruction and correction, if this is not the love letter from Jesus to your soul, amen to God, listen, something's missing. You'll find the Word of God in you if you're saved. Working in you effectually that believe. Secondly, you'll find the work of God. Now, I've already preached these and re-preached them and preached them and re-preached them. They're still working, even this morning.
Amen.
The Word of God will be in you. The work of God will be in you. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, where's the work of God? I'm just saying that out generally. I'm just throwing that out generally, letting the Holy Spirit put it where it needs to go. Amen. If you're saved, where's the work of God? It's hard to tell me that you're saved and you've got the work of God in you when you're loving sin, living in sin.
Amen.
Now, Brother David, you remember we preached that. That's probably one of mine and your favorite verses. And I preached that. And I remember it got high. But I want to tell you this. Listen, that Bible didn't say he that begun a good work in you will try to perform it. Will work every once in a while. He might skip a few years in there. No. He said, if he begun it, he will perform it. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That outfit out there on the bar stool, my friend, drinking and doping and fornicating and all that bunch of rot. Listen, tell you the work of God's in them. They're saved. Baloney, baloney, baloney with a capital B.
Amen.
Baloney. There ain't no way that's right. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't have a bad attitude. I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. If you take that Bible right there and let that Bible say who's saved and who's not, there's very few people saved. Very few people are saved. Buddy, that Bible right there nails her down good and tight and clear about being saved and what salvation means and what it'll do in your life. And there's a whole lot of people, when I take this Bible and I look at the Scriptures that deals with salvation and what it produces, I don't see it in a lot of people. I didn't see it in me before the age of 20 either. Amen. You'll see the Word of God, the works of God, and then you'll see, as we preach the other Sunday, the witness of God. The Holy Spirit will be in you. And I'm going to just get us up to where we're going to be tonight if the Lord helps us to get it, leads us back to that. Oh, I want to preach it so bad even this morning. I wish I had about 2 hours. I got fired up over here this week. I was fired up before it went.
Amen.
I've been fired up for a while, for a long time. You know what's firing me up? The Holy Spirit. The Word of God. Hey, man, firing me up. And guess what? Seeing what God's doing in your life is firing me up. Hey, man. Sitting over there in that revival, seeing there one night we had 16 of our people and 9 of them testified. And I'm not talking about test. I'm talking about had God on them, crying, shouting, weeping, plugged into the glory world. What do you think that done for the pastor? Me, sitting over there listening and watching. I tell you, I was about to blow a fuse, amen, to see that God is working at RBT, amen. That there are indeed some people at RBT that is in love with the Lamb and wants to live for God and loves Him, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm fired up. I'm excited.
Thank you, Lord.
you'll find the witness of God in your life. And then, Lord willing, you'll find, of course, you definitely will find. I believe you look in James 2, and we'll be there tonight, Lord willing. James chapter 2, you know what else you'll find? You'll find works.
Amen.
You'll find works for God. Faith without works is dead, being alone.
Amen.
Salvation produces service. Don't let nobody tell you any differently. That Bible is full of that truth. Salvation produces service. No service, no salvation.
Amen.
Now you can serve. You can serve without being saved. But you can't be saved without serving. The first words that came out of Paul's mouth after he got saved, and he's our example. Do you know that? You've read that in Timothy? That he is the example or the pattern of all them which should after hereafter believe. What was his pattern? Of course, he got supernaturally born again. He was supernaturally changed inside and out. And guess what? The first words out of his mouth when he got saved was, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" How many people do you know? How many people do I know that claim to be saved and they're not the slightest bit interested in serving God? Amen. Not the slightest bit interested in serving. And I can take this Bible. If you had the time, I'll take the time. This Bible proves, friend, the very purpose, one of the main reasons for which He saved you was for you to serve Him. Listen, God's wanting to do a work in our day. But He will not do it Himself. Now watch this, come here. God's not just going to be floating around and doing a work. He works through people. God carries out His will and work as a child of God, submits to Him and for Him to work through them His purpose for saving them. You say, "Preacher, you think it's His purpose for me to serve Him, the reason He saved me?" Yeah, go to Philippians 3. It's right there. Paul said, "I've not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And you know what he said? He said, "I've not counted myself apprehended, to have apprehended." He said, "I've not laid hold on it." But he said, "Here's what I'm doing." He said, "I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus." He said, "I know God laid hold on me for a purpose. And what I desire as a child of God, I want to lay hold on that for which God laid hold on me for." God saved you to serve Him. There will be works in your life if you've got faith in your life.
Amen.
Amen. I can't hardly wait to preach it. God give me some good stuff on it. Out of the book of James, faith without works is dead. Let me tell you I ain't going to tell you. I started saying I was going to tell you my title of the message, but it's pretty stout, so you probably couldn't handle it. You just have to come back tonight and get it. Examine yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That is, you're disapproved, you're rejected, you're not a qualified. That had to do with the Grecian gangs, that reprobate, that being disapproved, you're not a qualified runner in the race. If Christ is not in you, then you're not in the race. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God speaking to us. Lord, we tried to get to James chapter 2, and evidently you wanted us to just bog in and lock in on those other statements and say some more about those things. And I know they've been preached and re-preached. And it's not that I've not studied. But it's, Lord, You wanted that one more time to be refreshed in our heart again. And deal with us, Lord. I had good liberty this morning to preach, and I thank You for that. Lord, I ask You to speak to hearts, Lord. May people, every man, every woman, boy and girl, every church member, every visitor, I pray, will examine themselves, give themselves a thorough, personal, intense examination to see that they are in the faith and prove themselves, put it to the test, see if Christ is really in them. Dear Father, I pray, have Your will and way this morning. In Jesus' name.